and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't get. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens, and this is Rock the Boat here on UCY.TV. Today is the middle of September, 15th of September. It was a gorgeous day where I am today. A beautiful sun, no wind, and I'm your host for the next hour. And what I need to do here right away is close some of this stuff down. I just got here. My apologies. I have to, I just want to open up these other tabs and then I can get to what I'm looking for. Anyways, I did finally find the text of the throne speech from the 12th of September, read by Elizabeth Dowdswell, who came from UNEP, United Nations Environmental Program. She's another one of these lunatics. And, you know, I think it's perfect because people, you know, I can't say this enough. People, if you're talking to somebody and they're right wing or left wing, this about sums it up. And I said, I think this possibly on the last show. Here in Canada, it was the conservative government who signed us on to Agenda 21. In the United States, it was a conservative government that signed us on to Agenda 21. And then it went to the liberals, and they moved the program, okay? Clinton put Agenda 21 into place there, and this is all coming out of the UN. So if you think there's a difference between the right and the left, you best give your head a shake. They're both on the same freaking team. Now, when you get sick of one and you go and you vote for the other one, you just brought in the boys that were basically sitting on the bench waiting to get called. And they just continue the program. The program is the United Nations, the bankers, the lawyers, setting up their world government system. One world government, one world religion. Why are you getting so many Muslims flooding into your country? One world religion. Is that religion going to be Islam? Absolutely not. What they're trying to start is they're trying to start a war. They're trying to start a religious war. And you got mosques going up all over the place. We've got our RCMP and our OPP here hiring female Muslims on the force who are allowed to wear their Islamic uniform, basically, which goes completely against the grain of the founding of our nations. Our nations were founded upon Christian values. Over the years, because they do this incrementally, they took out the Lord's Prayer out of the schools, out of the legislatures, out of the town halls, because they have to make that disappear, because our countries are based on that. And that's why Islam's coming in. Islam did not separate state and church. They're one and the same. And these people, if we don't do something fast, these people are going to start getting elected into the legislature, your local town council. And then what comes after that, they're going to start pushing Sharia law. Now, you got to understand that all of your elected officials are on board with what's going on out of the UN, because the nation signed on to the UN. They're partners. They are partners in this takedown of your nation. They're all treasonous as hell, or this wouldn't be going on. This would have been nipped in the bud decades ago, but it wasn't. So everything that's going on in your nation, from your vaccines to your sex ed in the schools to your pride parades and so on and so forth, is all coming out of the United Nations. Now, you can go to any nation and you will find that the same thing's going on in that nation, especially in the West, okay? So we have to stop it, or we're going to suffer the consequences. Now, they're trying to start as much inside warfare against each other as they possibly can. One is a religious war, and then you have the right-left war, okay? And this is basically taking us down, or an attempt to take us down, using psychology and spirituality to tear us apart. Well, they sit up in their towers laughing at us because we're so damn stupid. But then they look at us as cattle. They use us as chattel because we were deceived. We allowed ourselves to be deceived. We didn't stand up when we should have, and this is what we get. We had all our manufacturing tore out of our nations, and now we're being flooded with immigrants from everywhere, and we're going to be raped and pillaged if we don't stand up. And whether we stand up or not, that's the choice of the people. We have to do it wisely. We cannot go in guns a-blazing, because, of course, that's what they want. They're begging us. Please start shooting. You know, we can't let them do that. What we do need to do is we need to get a hold of those local councils. It's the only place. You cannot get stateside. You cannot get federal side. You have to go to the local councils. Once we get those, then we start to really push back. Every single city, town, council has a city manager or a CAO. Those CAOs and city councilors are the most treasonous dogs you'll ever meet, and they're not elected. You didn't elect them. They're administrators, and they are administrating in your local neighborhood the UN agendas, the world agendas. Now, maybe you want to be a world citizen. I sure as hell don't. This is my nation. And what is the goal of these agendas? The end of nation states. So what is the point of you voting in a federal election if the people you're voting for are bound and determined that they're going to end your nation state? Eventually, the Congress and the Senate are all going to have to get vacated. These people have been in power way too long. We got to get some real blood in there. We got to get some nationalists in there. Now, you've heard the propaganda about nationalism from pretty near every faction in your nations. Nationalism is bad. We need free trade. Well, you can't trade freely with somebody that's working for a tenth of your wages. How in the hell do you plan to compete with these people? You can't do it. As the old guy, I got to look up his name again. It's been years since I read that, but the guy that was retiring, they're giving him his party, and he just simply said it as it is. We in the media are prostitutes for the rich men. We write what they want when they want. And if we fail to do so, we'll find ourselves out on the street without a job, and we will not be unemployable, or we will not be employable in this industry called the media. Now, if the media was actually telling you the news, we could have stomped this nonsense out years ago, but they don't. Okay, they propagandize this stuff. They keep your head busy with sports scores and entertainment news. Because, oh, nobody wants to talk about politics. And we got suckered again. But now that we know we've been suckered, now we're going to have to get going. If you want your nation's resources, your water, your food, all controlled by outside, unelected bodies, administrative bodies, and lawyers who wrote the rules and regulations for the administrators to administer, and the bankers who can bankrupt you any frickin' time they want. They've got everybody so loaded out in debt, false debt nonetheless, but it's still there. They're still using it. Now, everybody's so loaded up with debt on purpose. If the interest rate starts rising, which it's gonna, the nations are gonna collapse as per plan. They need to put a big enough hurt on enough people that we're basically back to the dirty 30s soup kitchen days. At which point they're going to offer you your guaranteed income, giving you adequate this, that, and the other thing, of which they administer, which they decide what is adequate. How much water are we going to give the cattle? What are we going to feed the cattle? Because that's what we are, cattle. In their eyes, at least. We're not men in their eyes. How could they do this to men? Men would have stood up. No, we're just animals to these people. That's all we are. We're animals. We're either assets or liabilities. And we've become liabilities through the robotics. They don't need the number of people they used to need to build the products. And so they want less of us on the planet. So they blame us for ruining the environment. How do you fix the environment? Well, if it's us that's ruining the environment, then obvious, like Gorbachev said, get rid of 92% of the population and your environmental problem is solved. So we know what these guys are up to. The question is, are we going to allow them to fulfill their dream? Now, they're not going to come in and bomb us. They're going to try to get us to turn on each other, which they're doing a damn good job of. I mean, you can trace Idle No More. You can trace Black Lives Matter. You can trace Occupy. You can trace that dick shit that I can't stand. I puke every time I see a picture of this clown, Anonymous. Trace that back to the UN years ago. Used to divide and conquer the people, to turn the people against each other. These are all agents. And you got to come to terms with that. I had a, where did I get that thing from? I had a, there's all this talk now about community hubs. Big deal here in Ontario now, building community hubs. Now, all you got to do is put in, you know, UNESCO, UNEP, or United Nations, you'll track it down. But it doesn't matter where you live. Your administrators, not your elected officials, your administrators are getting the public all jacked up on this idea of community hubs. Now, I did find an article, if I can dig it out of all this mess I got in front of me here. Here, oh, geez, look at that. First tab I run across. Now, it's called Q-munity, BC's Queer Resource Center. Now, this is one of the things came out when I put in Community Hubs, United Nations. Now, this is actually a really good article. It's called Queering the International, Q-munity, and the United Nations, September the 7th, 2016. In Quito, Ecuador, in October of this year, international delegates from all over the world will meet at UN Habitat 3. Now, old Jimmy Carter is still out banging nails for Habitat. Habitat is from the United Nations. Anyways, at the United Nations, a Habitat conference to discuss cities, sustainability, rapid urbanization, and the new urban agenda. I was invited to several consultation meetings on the matter. What does this mean, you ask, and how is it relevant to a youth worker at BC's Queer Resource Center? Now, you know, we've had pride parades. Our prime minister can't seem to be involved in enough of these things. This whole pride thing, this whole gay thing, again, came out of the United Nations. It's all about destroying nations, destroying societies. So this writer goes on, at first I had no idea either. The concept felt huge and overwhelming. What on earth could I contribute to an international discussion on urban populations? It had always been a secret dream of mine to work for the United Nations and was part of the reason that I studied Russian language for 10 years and was the president of the Intercultural Alliance at UBC. There's your universities again. That's the University of British Columbia. This, the universities are the training grounds for these people who are taking us down. So I decided to take the opportunity to explore how I could contribute to the UN Habitat 3 meeting. The first consultation meeting was organized by Ellen Woodsworth, a former city councilor and a current organizer. City councilor, right? She was a city councilor, probably got voted out, but these people don't go away. This is the other thing people got to understand. You think when you vote somebody out, they just disappear. No, they just move into a new role. So anyways, the first consultation meeting was organized by Alan Woodworth, a former city councilor and a current organizer, writer, consultant on urban issues in Vancouver. We met at a PeerNet BC with Rami Chadra Herbert, a former community staff member, and Vanessa Bui, who were in the midst of working on their incredible social justice bus tour set to happen on September the 10th. Ellen introduced us to the concept for the first time in history. More than half of humanity lives in a city, and by 2050, that number will include 70% of humanity. Now remember, humans are animals. Okay, they're herding you into the pens called cities. More, anyway, 70% of humanity, more than the current world population in total, is going to live in cities. That's a lot of people affected by urbanization and urban issues. Now I'm just going to stop there for a second. We have a little town about 24 miles from here. There's about 1,200 people living in it. They just closed their only grocery store. The average population in that town is probably 60, maybe a little higher. And so they've taken the only grocery store away from these people. So now they got to drive to the next town to go get groceries. As they get older, they need more medical services. There's no hospital there. And so on and so forth. The gas stations are closing down in these small communities. They're driving the people out of the small town. We have another town about another 20 miles from here, maybe 25 miles. Same thing going on there. It's probably a population of 8 to 1,100 people. And they're doing the same thing there. They're shutting these places down. They've run most of the young people out because there's no jobs there anymore. They shut down the jobs that were there. So the young people move to the city looking for work. The old people stay behind. But then as their services start to disappear, they need to move to get to services. And that's what's going on. Anyways, back to the story. Ellen introduced us to the concept for the first time in history. In 1976. Now, I've been saying this for 10 plus years, I guess. In 1976, the first UN consultation on human settlements was held right here in Vancouver. So for Ellen, this is a poignant full circle. The proposed new agenda, Urban Agenda for 2016, is a 23-page document about improving the lives of people who live in cities. However, there is absolutely no language that includes LGBTQ folks nor indigenous communities. This means that in October of 2016, delegates from countries all over the world will gather to talk about creating sustainable, safe, and clean cities while simultaneously ignoring the issues faced by the LGBTQ and indigenous people and those living at the intersection of both identities. Together, Rami, Vanessa, Ellen, and I planned a meeting to engage the larger community for consultation on this issue. We planned to invite as many diverse communities as we could and draw upon the experience and opinions of the different individuals. In the meantime, I was invited by the United Nations Association of Canada to participate in a separate consultation on sustainable development goals and the relation to urban youth. Most people of my generation grew up learning about Millennium Development Goals. And this goes back to the idea of generational incrementation, right? The people that are already grown up didn't get any of this in school. They don't know nothing about it. They're off trying to make a living. They're trying to keep a roof over their head. They have no idea what's being taught in the schools. But here, I don't know how old this writer is here, but it says, you know, my generation grew up learning about the Millennium Development Goals in school. I remember being able to recite them for geography class. In 2015, the UN met their 15-year deadline for these goals. This Guardian article demonstrates their success in factors like reducing infant mortality, improving access to education, increasing the number of women in parliament. In 2016, the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, took the place of the MGGs with a deadline of 2030. That's a new generation. Together with other young leaders from around Vancouver, such as representatives from the School of Community and Regional Planning at UBC, the UBC Center for Community Engaged Learning, the BC Council of International Cooperation, and the Progressive Housing Society, I spent several hours giving feedback on how the UN Habitat could better engage youth. I went in with my role as a community, that's Q, like in queer immunity, youth worker, as well as a member of Black Lives Matter Vancouver. All this shit's coming out of the UN, folks. So when you're bitching about Black Lives Matter in America, understand they came out of the UN. They're agents. As a youth worker for LGBTQ/2S folks, they keep adding things, I'm sure to give input on how these policies could do a better job at supporting queer, trans, and two-spirit youth. For example, we spoke with a representative from UN Women about how much language around gender within the UN focused only on women's health, something that excludes those who are trans or gender nonconforming. The UN does not provide space to include conversations about youth, mental health, sexuality, relationships, and well-being, and so I was excited to be part of a group that pushed for this inclusion. This is really important given the following statistics from Canada Human Rights Trust. Now, these are links. I'm not going there right now. Anyways, the LGBTQ/2S youth are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers. Well, of course, that's because you're all screwed up. You got sucked into what was being taught to you in the schools, in the magazines, in the newspapers, on the TV sitcoms, and in the movies. All predictive programming. And you, my friends, who were weak of the mind and the spine, got programmed. Anyways, it goes on, 49% of trans students and 33% of lesbian students have experienced sexual harassment in school within the past year. Well, if you take a moose and you put it in with a bunch of cows, they're not likely going to get along that good. So, you know, this is not something that is normal. Although the UN and the media and the schools and the churches now and everybody else says it is. It's not. A study in Manitoba, Northwestern Ontario, revealed that 28% of transgender and two-spirit people have attempted suicide at least once. Of course, because you got deceived. On July 18th, I gathered at Britannia Community Center with Ellen Woodsworth and around 20 other community members with a passion for LGBTQ/2S rights advocacy, and we spent 4 hours workshopping the UN Declaration. The result, an incredible and comprehensive queer declaration. We wrote, we, the LGBTI2S community members, two, involved and consulted in the Habitat 3 process, gathered with the main objective to explore ways of incorporating an intersectional lens that demonstrates the importance of including the LGBTQ people and their communities in the design, implementation, monitoring, evaluation, and wording of the new urban agenda that will be adopted in Ecuador in October 2016. That is right around the corner. After the preamble, we listed numerous recommendations for United Nations to consider that included things like recognizing the frequency of displacement of LGBTQS youth, ending violence against and creating safe spaces for them, for their communities, and increasing political participation of the LGBTQ folks. Well, we've got all kinds of those people in the so-called government here in Canada. You know, we got tons of them. Now we're getting more all the time because it's a human right and you can't discriminate and so on and so forth. Now, Yuri Brezhnikov, in his film, explains this completely. Okay? Explains what this is all about. More and more women in government and all of the gays. And one of his warnings was, do not let gays get a hold of power. Just like don't get the Muslim immigrants get hold of power. It's like we're sitting on the sidelines watching a bad play or a bad hockey game or something, and we are not participants. We're the audience. We're watching a play out that is going to destroy us, but we've been non-participants for so long, we think that we just sit in the audience. We best get the hell out of the audience. You better get down on the floor or get down on the ice or get up on the stage. This is not a play. This is reality coming at you. And the people in the West have been so dumbed down, they don't even seem to notice what the hell's going on. Anyways, it carries on here. We're really proud of the document, but it can't make a difference without your support. Several organizations and individuals have already endorsed it and given their support, but we need people to continue signing our petition in order to get recognition from the Canadian delegates who will be attending the conference in Quito next month. This was written by Cicely Bell Blaine, who is a youth worker for Qmunity. Now, let's see what else we got in here. What's this Guardian article? I'm going to take a quick boo at that. What have the Millennium Development Goals achieved? The UN has called the MDGs the most successful anti-poverty movement in history, but what progress has been made on each of their goals? Well, since they kicked this up, we have more people in this province, in this country, who live in poverty. We have more people that can't afford to keep their lights on. We have more people that can't afford to pay their water bills. But you know everything that's getting spewed at you is upside down. The Millennium Development Goals have targeted 8 key areas: poverty, education, gender equality, child mortality, mental health, and disease, as well as the environment and global partnership. Okay, so this is all the Millennium Development Goals, which I'm not that interested in. Education. Here in Ontario, we're spending something like $60 billion. And I think it went up to $1.2 billion, maybe, to train teachers so that they're capable of doing grade school math. They started out with a $60 million expenditure to make sure that they had one teacher in each grade school who understood basic grade before high school math, so that that teacher could be called upon by the other teachers who don't know how to do basic math. And this is called the Millennium Goal. Education. It's not got nothing to do with education. The education is the propaganda and the dumbing down and the vaccination of the children. Disease. We got more people getting sick from vaccines than ever before. Disease. I think it is, what is it, the second highest or something, a number of deaths in the United States are caused by pharmaceuticals? Disease. We've got planes spraying the shit out of us in the sky. Disease. Oh, yeah, the UN gives a damn. And global partnership. What do they got for global partnership here? Target 8A, develop an open, rule-based, predictable, non-discriminatory trading and financial system. Target 8B, address the special needs of the least developed countries. Target 8C, address the special needs of landlocked developing countries and small island states. This is where your money's going. You work like a dog, and your government is taking your money and sending it overseas so the UN can fill their pockets. And you hear reports, oh, look at this. They drilled a well. Isn't that wonderful? Well, when I was a kid, before I hooked on to the idea of what the United Nations actually was, I was one of those kids out there trying to help the starving children in Africa. This is way back in the early mid-60s. And out there with my UNICEF box, me and my buddies, and we'd bang doors like a bitch, and then we'd go back and get another box and fill it up. Because they needed a well. Well, all these years later, they still need a well, and you're being sucked dry, and that money's being sent to the UN, its organizations, its NGOs, professors in universities, in order to keep this crock of nonsense going. Target 8D, deal comprehensively with the debt problems of developing countries. Target 8E, in cooperation with the pharmaceutical companies, provide access to affordable essential drugs in the developing countries. Now, we've all heard stories of where Gates and the boys go in there, and that's all UN. Goes in there and just vaccinates the hell out of people and sterilizes the women and or kills the people with their vaccinations. Target 8F, in cooperation with the private sector, make available benefits of new technology, especially information and communication. Globally, the proportion of population covered by the 2G mobile cellular network grew by 58% to 95% in 2015. And that's so they can track you and run your smart meters and run your water meters and... Once it's all being set up so that they can give you adequate, what it's going to boil down to is basically you're going to get a card loaded or an account loaded with an adequate amount. They decide what the adequate amount is of food, water, and electricity, gas, whatever you're using, and you will be given that credit on a monthly basis. And it will be a hell of a lot less than you are going to be able to get by on. They want the United Nations is bound to determine that you will use 75% of the less electricity you use now and 75% less water. And you just imagine living in your home using 75% less water than you do now. Monitoring aid delivery, featured story giving new life to farms in Ebola-affected countries. This is such a crock of garbage that, and it's all being shoved down your throat from your local city, town, council, who is being told what to do by an unelected administrator who is trained specifically how to implement the UN agendas, the global agendas, into your community. Now, right now, we have this thing that our council is going to spend a whole lot of money on a wastewater management program. Well, if you put that in, you'll find that every other town in this city, in this province, and probably across the country and throughout the United States and throughout Europe, just happens to be doing the same thing. They're all doing the same thing at the same time because the UN templates come into the administrator's desk. He winks, go, yep, I'm trained in how to do that. And then he goes to the unsuspecting council, and he explains to them what needs to be done, and they're just part-time idiots, and they vote it. So, we have to do something about that. And I was going to put this link in here because, you know, it's really, I was really happy not to read this community shit, but the fact that it brought up the first conference on human settlements, which was way back in 1976, where they stated what's not sustainable is private property. Okay? Private property is not sustainable. The reason for it is it's a social injustice. The idea behind that is that if you own property and I don't, you can ride the price of property up, although it can come back down again, but you can ride it up, you can make some profit on it, and therefore you can gain because you own property, and I cannot. And therefore, you owning property is not sustainable because it's not socially just. It's not fair to those who don't own property. Now, if you go over to Europe, you'll find the number of people actually own property is way lower than it is here in the West. And that's where they're going to take us. We're all going to end up rent slaves if we don't watch what we're doing. And I mean, if that's what you want, fine. Who am I to say anything? But if you care about your family, you care about the kids, then whether you like it or not, you've got to quit just being one who's viewing this, and you got to get active. You can't stay in the audience any longer, people. So here's a little UN queer or community stuff for you, if you wish to read through it. There's some links in there. But it is extremely interesting because it says a lot. It says a hell of a lot. You know, all of this stuff is coming at us through the schools. I mean, now in the schools, what are they doing? You know, they're getting kids because, see, it's generational, so they pulled the Lord's Prayer out of the schools. When the kid goes to the school, he doesn't know nothing about no Lord's Prayer. Not there when he got there. So they're wide open now to Islam. Because they got nothing backing them. They got no clue. You take a little kid doesn't know nothing. Now, the people who know a little bit going, this is crazy. Well, of course it's crazy, but then you allowed the Lord's Prayer to come out of the school because we didn't want to offend someone, right? Don't offend anybody. So we have to, in order not to offend anybody, we have to get rid of everything that made your society what it is. Because obviously people coming in are not from your background or were not present in the society. They don't have generations of families. And therefore, anything that your society accepts, embraces, is probably offensive to the newcomers. Therefore, we have to get rid of your society in order to implement a new society, an all-inclusive society, a society where no one is offended. Well, guess what? I'm offended. We've all been offended. But, hey, you know, we like to go and sit in the stands and watch the game, and that's what we've been doing. We've been sitting in the stands watching the game. I don't like the way that I should go down there and say something. Oh, well, you can't do that because you'll get arrested because you can't go on the field because that's the way it is. And that's what we've been doing. And we've been doing it for way too long. And that has to get fixed. All the stuff that doesn't make sense to you makes perfect sense to the university professors. It makes perfect sense to the media. It makes perfect sense to the churches that have turned their back. I mean, when you have Christian church people sponsoring Islamic people into their community, you know that that so-called Christian person in that church is obviously not Christian. Every sector of our society has been infiltrated by agents. And what those agents are taught you is that we're all inclusive, we're all one, we can't offend anyone, and therefore we have to bend over and take it. These people are criminals. Why are they criminals? Because they're causing harm. And in law, it's against the law to cause harm. That was the whole basis of a Christian society. But they made you into a secular society, which means they made you into a corporate society, which means they made you into a corporate liability or asset. They took away what was given to you by your creator. You're no longer a man or a woman, you're a cattle beast. And you slave away, pulling the plow, and they take all your labor, the fruits of your labor, they take them. So we're going to have to make some decisions here, like really fast. We have got to quit dicking around with this nonsensical political system. It doesn't exist. What does exist are the administratives. There's in the background. What does exist is the bureaucracy in the background. What does exist is the boards and commissions that were legislated, but outside the reach of those who legislated them. And again, that brings me back to the new despotism. Please get a copy, read the damn thing, understand it. I mean, that's a warning from 1929. It's 2016. And we still don't seem to be getting any of this stuff. You know, discussions though. Oh, boy, they're going to legalize marijuana. What in the hell does that got to do with your nation state? It's just noise. And that's why I love that little clip from that movie, Sue and the Devil. I love that little rant when the devil's spewing off. You know, what did God create? Well, he created the sun and the water and the raindrops and the deer and the animals. And the devil says, what did I create? Noise. To drown out everything good. To keep you busy with the noise. And that's all politics is noise. These people do not represent you. They have never represented you. If they did represent you, do you think they would have allowed to gut our nations of our manufacturing capacity? Do you think for one second that they would allow GMOs into our nations? Do you think they would allow, I don't know what it is now, 60, 100 vaccinations to be jammed into children's arms? Do you think for one second of these politicians represented the people? Any of this would have possibly happened? Not a chance. So you know they don't represent you. They don't represent you, then they're the enemy. And the enemy's inside the gates, just like Cicero said back in 42 BC. A standing army at the gates is less of a threat. Because you know what the hell you're looking at. When the enemy's inside the gate and speaks like you and dresses like you, You don't see the enemy. Well, they're here. And they're not using guns, they're using pens and keyboards and media and professors in schools and preachers in the churches and teachers in the schools to destroy the nation through propaganda, the twisting of your minds, through mass psychology, and removing your spirituality, which is what the places were built on, the law. And they replaced it with a secular legal system, which has nothing to do with law. It is absolutely the opposite of law. So I don't know how much longer the people are going to put up with this nonsense, but I still do not want to see a shootout. But understand that when you're bitching about Black Lives Matter, which is the latest thing, I guess, when you're bitching about Black Lives Matter, understand that you've been conned into participating in a game of divide and conquer set up by those who wish to destroy your nation, the people, the spirit, and bring you into a place where you can no longer push back. You're going to pen you into the cities. Every single town in North America has a development boundary zone around it. You can't develop outside that zone. It's an infill high density game. And like, say, take the town I'm in. It's like 7,500 people. But as they shut down them small towns around us, those people are going to start coming in. But you can't build outside that zone. So it's going to be getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And when you start throwing in the pig contingent of LGBTQ people into these small communities, and you start driving Muslims in here and Chinamen in here, what are you going to do? You're going to get chaos. Now, nothing describes what they're doing better than that movie, Soylent Green. Super high density city with tons and tons of poor depending upon the so-called government in order to get them food. There is no beef left except for the rich. People sitting on bicycles with a little generator on it to charge up a battery to run a 40-watt bulb in a tiny little apartment. Now, they're selling you all this stuff on the pretty side, I guess you might call it, when what you're really doing is shoving big time ugly upon you. Surely to God, we can stand up to this stuff. Because only ones we're letting down are ourselves. You know, there is nobody but us. They're going to come and save us. Just us. That's you and me and your neighbor and your friend and your brother and your sister and your mother and your father. That's who we have to mobilize. And if we can't mobilize them, then that's our fault. And these ugly, nasty SOBs who presently run and control the earth will take complete and total control over every aspect of your life. You know, I like that scene. I like that scene in 1984, you know, where Winston goes up to his little cement apartment and he's trying to hide away from the eye of Big Brother, the screen on the wall, telling Winston it's time for to do his calisthenics. And they're going to want to know why you didn't do them. They're going to want to know where you got that chunk of meat that you're trying to eat for supper. Because meat's against the law. You can eat bugs. You can have that kind of meat. And then, of course, I saw some, I don't even know who it is. I don't know many celebrities, thank God. But some woman was spewing off about we have to get rid of the old people and actually wants what they have in China, which are the suicide vans. We'll come right up to your home and suicide you once you hit a certain age or whatever. Thinks that's a great idea. Now, you probably talk her down or track her down to some Rockefeller convention or something. So many of these celebrities are tangled up with Gates, the Rockefellers, the Brezhnikovs, the Soroses, the United Nations, and all the multitude, that huge spider web they call the United Nations. Because these celebrities sold their souls for fame and fortune. Just like Johnson at the crossroads wanting to be a great blues player. Just sign here. Sign away your soul. Give up your morals. Become an amoral agent of the system. You know, so we got to quit worrying about celebrities and football players and baseball players and basketball players and hockey players and all of that kind of stuff, because that's just to keep you distracted, or as the devil said in Suing the Devil, the noise, the politics. It's all noise. You can only concentrate on certain things. You can't be wasting your time with this other stuff anymore. You know, we're no different than the slaves in Roman times when they would go to the Colosseum on the weekend to be entertained, take their mind off being slaves. The system hasn't changed, folks. The system has not changed one little bit. But they're trying to come in for the kill now. And only you can make a difference. It looks like we're out of time. Oh, real quick, this is, what day is this? Thursday. So Saturday night we're going to be on over at Revolution Radio. But Sunday...
social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for them more, they shoot, they kill, they master from rain, they burn the kids, no one thinks gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgive. Ozzy's.